The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
That particular song. You think this young man in the other room will let me live that down? Never. Welcome back to the program. And I suspect there are a few of you, maybe few and far between, you appreciated that little interlude. In fact, music has a way of being timeless, right? Where you hear a song and boom, you go back to where you were. Now, there's a part of me that would invite you to call, where were you when you heard that song? But I'm not going to do that. Show's going to take a whole nother direction that maybe we shouldn't be going. But my goodness. I'll just say welcome back to the program. Earlier today, I had a conversation with another young man who I'm surrounded by, you know, guys that I'm very blessed to have the crew that I have on the program. Chandler's back, Daniel, Wilbert, Zach, and these are, say maybe Chandler's a little bit closer to my generation. These are young men that probably I could tell stories and they would question the validity of what I'm sharing. Like, are you telling, is that really the truth of things back then? But there's another young man that I have grown very fond of that I have watched on TV a number of times. In fact, maybe some of you have watched his ministry program on television. He has a very famous last name. His grandfather was Robert Shuler. And Bobby Shuler, I'm blessed to say, is a friend. And over the years, we've had him on the program a number of times. He has spoken at a KMG event or two, my ministry. And so earlier today, one of the younger men on the program made mention of a guy named David Goggins. Now, if you don't know who David Goggins is, you're going to hear a little of his story in a few moments. And it's a wild story. This guy, he's not Christian, but he exemplifies a spirit of overcoming great challenges in your life. And Bobby Shuler talked about him at a KMG a few years ago, and it really got me thinking, and kind of Bobby's thesis, if you will, what would happen if Christian men embraced the mindset of pursuing suffering to develop a deeper strength. And Bobby shared about 30 minutes. We've only got maybe a third of that. But Bobby talked ultimately about Jesus and challenging men to follow Jesus. So I want to share this clip with you. There's actually three. It speaks deeply to the heart of manhood, but also those of you that are women listening right now, I think it'll speak to you too, even though it's pretty heavy on the male gender. But I think this will bless you, and we'll get to David Goggins in a few moments, but listen to the setup of my dear brother, Bobby Shuler. This will bless you.
So today, you know, I want to talk about this idea of sacrifice, the importance of suffering, the dangers of mediocrity, and the value of being willing to do what just feels absolutely horrible to do for the sake of your faith and for your family. So, you know, I'm a Shuler, right? So I have to tell you something. Anything's possible in your life. And that's true. We're going to talk about that. That the best is yet to come in your life if you're doing life with Jesus. And as Americans, we understand the value of the imagination, the value of believing anything is possible, the value of our dreams. But we've also created today a culture that rewards mediocrity. And you can't have both those things. You can't have your dreams and your possibilities and while at the same time have a life of mediocrity. You have to go all out for those things and being willing to go through the suffering. So the two things I want to get across to you today, to be that kind of warrior that Frank is talking about, one, you have to actually change your mindset that you really can do anything if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. That literally, when he said that anything is possible for those who believe, it's true. And you need to change that mindset if you're not there. You need to stop comparing yourself to your dad or to your brother or to some of your friends. And especially the ones that didn't do well, the ones that messed up. You can't compare yourself to them and say, oh, I'm just like them. You have to believe that no matter how old you are, how sick you are, if you're overweight, if you're too young, or for whatever, that really anything is possible in your life. And that's the first change. But the second change you have to realize is that also, when you believe that, you have to be willing to pay the price to get the thing that you want to get. Jesus said everything is possible, but he also said, take up your cross and follow me.
I have an op-ed piece in front of me I may or may not get to. It's entitled, The American Church and the Idol of Comfort. Now, last year, obviously, we've had and have been forced to get out of our comfort zone. So I don't think that applies so much as it did maybe the previous year and the year before. But what about what Bobby is sharing? Does that resonate with you at all? Mediocrity, playing it safe, not pushing the boundaries. Right? Oftentimes I've in my life and I've heard from people that say, I'm not sure what God's plan is for my life. And then maybe, oh, I don't know, you get a prompt, something that's way beyond your comfort zone. And you think, is that you, Lord? And then we talk ourselves out of it. No, I'm not willing to do that. That's like crazy talk. Why, huh? Lord, is that you? And then we kind of petition, Lord, if that's really you, send me another affirmation. And so Bobby has a story here that kind of goes along those same lines that speaks very deeply to this idea of maybe getting to a place of not even really caring and just doing what you believe is absolutely God's calling on your life.
This is a principle for life that, yes, we must believe that anything is possible, that God will call us to do impossible things. But we also have to remember that there is a big price to pay. And it's actually in the paying of the price, in the suffering, in the difficulty, and in the training that we become the kinds of men that can do the things God has called us to do. That the fulfilling of one calling and the suffering that leads to that calling will then prepare us for the next calling. So that's, again, why Jesus does say anything's possible for you, but he also says, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus wasn't afraid of pain. Jesus wasn't afraid of suffering. And neither have been the greatest Christian leaders in history. Actually, you want to know a great story? In Europe, in the 7th century, most of Europe had become Christian, except for, you know, most of Germany. These large pockets of what's now Germany that were filled with Druid warriors. And nobody could seem to break through and bring the gospel to Germany until there was this English priest and monk who was invited to visit the Pope in Italy and thought he was going to stay there and be a professor and eat pasta and enjoy the good weather in Rome. And the Pope, and some people speculate that the Pope didn't like this guy very much, so he told Boniface, go into the heart of Germany and preach the gospel to the Druid warriors. He was so upset about that because he thought he was going to eat pasta and teach, and now he has to go to cold Germany and is probably going to die. And so he just decides on his journey to Germany that he's just going to die a martyr. He's like, I'm just going to friggin' die. And I don't even care. And he was angry at the Pope. And he walks into the center of the country where there is this huge ancient world tree called the Tree of Thor. And he walks in unannounced with an axe on his shoulder, says nothing, and chops down the Tree of Thor and begins to preach from it. That's a warrior, Frank. That's a man. And little did they know, little did he know, that in the Druid culture, the greatest virtue was courage. And the only missionaries that had been sent there before were a bunch of wieners. And so they had... And so when he's just like, I'm just going to go and die. I'm over this. I'm not going to live in Germany. He cuts down the tree of Thor, which also sounds awesome. Actually, in the story, part of the miracle was that as he began chopping, I mean, it's a giant tree. I don't know if you ever chopped a tree down, but it takes a long time. So he's chopping down this giant tree, and the wind starts blowing. And Thor, of course, if you watch Marvel movies, you'll know, is the god of thunder and storms. And a wind starts to go, and so they think, oh, yeah, here it comes. Thor's going to kill this guy. And the wind comes and finishes the job, like blows the tree over, and it just goes, go, 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 go. And then he's like, stands up, and he's like, you are all in sin. I need to repent. Anyway. So bringing the gospel to Germany sounded impossible to a lot of people. 700 years of faith in Europe, and it still hadn't made it to Germany. It took somebody who was willing to die, and in his case, even wanted to die, to break through. And this is the narrow road. What do you think it felt like for that guy to stand up there, by the way, and preach? 100% guarantee it felt great. It felt great.
Bobby Shuler, obviously, we know him, Hour of Power. His church is in Orange County, Shepherd's Grove. What do you think about what you've heard so far? 888-528-2557. Now, I can only project for me, if I was listening, driving or at work or maybe listening on my KKLA mobile app in the comforts of my home on my smartphone, there are so many nuggets to what Bobby Shuler has shared so far that speak to me. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe you're tuning out, or maybe this doesn't hit you in a certain way. And what about suffering? In a moment, we're going to hear from a man who went out of his way to suffer, which sounds insane. Why would you do that? Bobby will share his story in a moment, but I would love to hear from you, especially maybe any woman that's listening right now. What has hit you about what you've heard Bobby Shuler share so far? Do you know men like this in your life? Maybe you're single and you're looking for a good Christian man, and maybe the pickings have been a little slim. And what about the realities of biblical manhood, like Bobby is sharing? I'd really honestly love to hear your thoughts. 888-528-2557. And whether we get one, a full board, no calls, all I can say is, not that you're the litmus test, but I really look highly to you listeners. Like, this is a very important topic. I happen to think that our greatest crisis in our country is the lack of men being men and know who they are as followers of Christ. And Bobby is hitting it hard here with this idea of suffering and following Jesus and challenging yourself. Maybe it's just projection on my part, because so many years of my life I've played it safe. 888-528-2557. Now, one final story about a non-believer. His name is David Goggins. Maybe some of you know him. He's pretty high profile. He's not a Christian, but listen to this story.
There's a great podcast. Now, this is not a Christian podcast. When you listen to it, there's a lot of sailor talk. But I think you'll be okay. You'll live. And it's with a guy named David Goggins. He's not a Christian. And he's being interviewed by Joe Rogan. And I love this guy's story. He started out at this home in a black community. And was very poor. And his dad was super abusive. And he recalls a story one time when his dad beat up his mom and then drug her down the stairs by her hair, and then he went to fight his dad, and his dad beat him up. And then she finally leaves him, And he and his mom moved to this little town in Indiana. This is in the not that long ago, in the 90s. And it's an all-white, very small town of about 10,000 people. And like the first week he's there, there's like a town parade, and the Ku Klux Klan is in the parade. And so he spends much of junior high and high school. He's the only black kid in the whole town. And he's being called the N-word every day. And he's an outcast and doesn't have any friends. Develops a stutter. Starts getting fat. And by the time he's 24, he's impoverished. He's living in a one-bedroom apartment in the worst part of town. He can barely afford the rent. He weighs 300 pounds. He is an exterminator, and he's just depressed. And one day, this guy sees on the Discovery Channel a story about the Navy SEALs, and he gets this question in his head: what if? This is his words, not mine. What if a fat loser like me could become a bad eight? I kind of want to say it, but I can't because I'm in church. What if, became the baddest mother loving son of a gun? And so, you know, he decides, what if? It's possibility thinking, guys. What if that could happen to me? So he goes down to the recruiter center, and the recruiter says, you're out of shape. There's no way we can even take you into any. And he goes to recruiter, and finally one guy says, maybe the reserves will take you. So he goes to the reserves, and they say, look, you can be in the reserves. There's a qualification in 3 months, but you have to be 190 pounds at your height, and you weigh 300 pounds. And so I'll forget that. I can't do that. I can't lose 100 pounds and 3 months, and went back to, he said, drinking chocolate milkshakes. One day, because he was an exterminator, he was at a Red Lobster, and he said he hit the mother load of cockroaches. And he's like, I don't like cockroaches much. And he's just like, hit the mother load. And he was like, this is my life. This is my life. And this is the result of the decisions I've made. This is my life. And he decided, he left that spray bucket there, left the van, and just walked away. And decided he was going to do whatever it took to lose that weight. He lost 100 pounds in 3 months. And he said he just went crazy. And he was afraid of water, too, which makes it even great. You know, he's had this horrible fear of water. He couldn't swim. So he would, like, get in the pool and just, like, freak out. Because if you want to be a Navy SEAL, you got to be able to swim. You know what I'm saying? Swim like a seal. So he's working out, and when he's not working out, he's like training his mind by just being in a pool, which is like has his brain going. And he just decides that I'm going to do this, and he ultimately becomes, he has to go through 3 hell weeks. So if you know anything about hell week, it's like one of the most horrible things. People die all the time. He goes through 3 hell weeks and becomes a Navy SEAL. So this guy just, and he, what he says is, he's like, he just decided that he needed to suffer. He was like, if I ever saw something that I was like, would be so absolutely horrible and I wouldn't want to do it, I'd be like, I have to do that. So if it's 3 a.m. and it's raining outside, and he's like, man, the worst thing ever would be to go out there and run. He's like, gets out of bed and just goes and runs in the rain. And this has been the guy's mindset. He's become an ultra marathon runner since being a Navy SEAL. The first time he ran, he'd never run a marathon, and then he wanted to raise money for a bunch of his friends who died in a helicopter fight in Iraq. He goes out to this run, and he does 70 miles and is completely done, falls into this lawn chair that he starts peeing blood off his back and almost starts going into shock. And then his wife was like, you need to go to a hospital. But then he's like, no, I have to do this because the suffering is good for me. I'm not recommending this, by the way. It's very dangerous. But he gets out of his chair, and he just begins to, like, hobble around the circle. And then he said something happened around mile 81. He'd never run a marathon. And he just went into this full-on run and finished and qualified. He now has set the world record for most pull-ups. He did 4,030 pull-ups, which I think is pretty impressive. But the main thing I thought of when I heard that was, the main thing I thought when I heard this interview was, man, if we as believers, if this guy could become, actually I prayed for him, if this man could know Jesus and apply that same understanding that suffering can bring the best out of us, that choosing to be what's horrible is the thing that makes you the warrior. It's the thing that makes you the one out of 99. It's the suffering that makes you a great husband, makes you a great dad, makes you a great employee, makes you a man of God. It's getting up in the morning and praying. It's putting the Lord first in everything you do in your life and just deciding, I'm not going to be like everybody else. That is what makes us. And the danger is there's all of these things that want to draw us away from our calling. Thomas Aquinas once was with the Pope, and the Pope takes him. This is in the medieval age. The church is very wealthy, and the Pope says, look, Thomas, and he shows him a treasure room. No longer can we say silver and gold have I not. And Thomas grabs him by the arm and says, neither can we say rise up and walk. You see that exchange? That's the exchange. Look, it's okay and even good to succeed, to have money, to do well in life, but never, ever, ever let it deter you from understanding the value of suffering and the value of sacrifice and the value of choosing to walk the narrow road for your faith and not depending on food or on wealth or on any of those things, but depending on the Lord. And watch, if you're willing to suffer, if you're willing to let go of your ego and you're willing to do what's difficult, God can do anything in your life, anything. We believe that. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Phenomenal, phenomenal message from Bobby Shuler a few years ago at a KMG event. What do you think about what you heard? We actually have a line open. We're going to take a break, and Justin and Summer, you'll be the first two callers. 888-528-2557. Did that speak to you at all? What about playing it safe? What about the concept of suffering? What about Jesus? What do we learn from his example? Are you listless? Are you uneasy? Is your life filled with passion and purpose in the Lord? I think for some of us, we really worship at the altar of comfort. It's an idol for us. Getting out of our comfort zones. And again, David Goggins, I wouldn't use his example as Bobby said, but goodness, what happens when you just embrace suffering with the intention of maybe having you grow deeper? 888-528-2557. We're going to break and come back. And in my perfect hope, I'll look over and phones will be lighting up, that really spoke to a lot of you. Here's my concern, and I'll just speak for men. Not that I speak for all men, but I have a men's ministry, and I've been around enough men. I think a lot of men just are dead inside. To hear something like that, it's like, no, your ship has sailed. No, I can't do any of that. Or this idea of not even realizing that spiritually you're dead. Or you're just, the message that you've gotten with respect from churches, to be a man is to be nice. Is to just play it safe and do all the things you're supposed to do and be meek and mild and soft. And there's a part of you like you just yearn for a battle. You just yearn to get out of your comfort zone. So I'll ask directly, did anything you just heard from Bobby Shuler speak to you at all? Be honest. It's all I'm looking for. Like shaking you from a deep sleep. 888-528-2557. We have a couple of open lines. 888-528-2557. And as I shared on the other side, Justin and Summer, you'll be our first two callers. And we'll continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Later in the hour, a radio ministry that we know and love. Big announcement. Also, a discovery in Israel. Archaeologists have uncovered something that is tantamount to one of the largest discoveries in recent times. biblically speaking. We'll talk about both those stories and much more later in the hour. Now, I just played a series of audio clips of Bobby Shuler from a KMG event talking about examples of manhood and overcoming great challenges and making choices in life. And what about suffering? And are we too comfortable? And how does Jesus fare into all of this? Now, I said I was going to take Justin and Summer. I'm going to take David first and then Justin and Summer as the first three callers. If you're also on hold, be patient. I'll try to get to all of you. David in Southgate. David, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, David?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I was driving right now, and I just got to hear the message that you played. And, yeah, I mean, I kind of I was very turned off by it. And I think I'm not sure if the point of the message was to encourage men to be men. But I just thought that's not a good message to, you know, to show or to encourage men to be men. That's what I thought.
What message did you hear that you thought was a turn off in your words or not a good message? What specifically are you referring to?
Okay, so what I kind of heard was I don't know the pastor by name. It's the first time I've heard him. But I just thought him using an unbeliever as an example, and I know that he wasn't exactly using him as the example, but his trials in life, I know that. But again, even that, I just felt like the pastor could have done a better job, used a better example to encourage men to be men. I actually think I also kind of disagreed with what he said about suffering. I forgot what words he used, but he kind of said something about we need suffering for certain things, which I don't think that's true either. I think suffering is something that we are blessed by. We can be blessed by it when we suffer because it can cause something in us to do something good. But the way he said it, I think it was a little different, and that's where I kind of felt like I wanted to call and just point that out to other men because other men are going to hear this. And I wouldn't want other men to be encouraged by things they shouldn't be encouraged.
Now, let me share with you, I have a lot of men on hold. Every single one of them said that they were incredibly encouraged. How do you account for you being just the opposite?
I understand that. That's exactly, I think that's kind of like the proof in the pudding, right? Because that's the whole point of the discussion is how men are not being men. So if men are calling and agreeing, well, I wouldn't take that as that's proof that it's a good thing. I think men right now are so lost.
Yep.
They don't know what's good.
Yeah.
So including the pastors in the church. They're raising up these men to not be men. And that's where everything's falling apart. I completely agree with you when you say society right now is in danger because men are not being men.
Okay, fair enough. This isn't a right or wrong thing. I took you first because, again, you're the anomaly here. And I thank you for the call. I'll, in a sense, give you the benefit of the doubt that you only heard bits and pieces. I've sat and watched the whole video, so I've saturated the message. And I'm sure some people want to respond to what you said as well. Thank you for the call. Justin in Ontario. Justin, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for taking my call. So the story about the guy chopping down the tree in Germany, extremely encouraging for me. And I think, to be honest, every Christian man that's a real Christian man feels that way inside and wants to have that courage. And now's the time to do it. If I could play that like so many times and then share it with so many people, I would. But that's what we need, and it's time to do that. And for us to be brave, whether it be in our own home, in our work, in a public spot, wherever, it's time to do that and chop that tree down and preach right from it.
Now, I'm not here. He's gone. But could you hear David's call and what he shared?
Was it the last caller that was saying the one that said
yes.
He didn't agree with?
Yes.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that guy. Suffering is, I think it's critical. I think it's the way God does a lot of stuff. builds a lot of people and strengthens a lot of people, repairs them. And, I disagree with him. I'm not exactly sure how much time he spent in the Bible, but, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to go too long on him. It's not a good guy, bad guy thing or a right or wrong thing. I'm just interested in a dialogue about this very reality of the state of manhood. Appreciate your call. I'm glad it challenged you as well. Thank you, Justin. Summer is in the San Fernando Valley, and I wish that was literally true right now. Summer, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. Always a pleasure to hear your show and hear you speak. And I love that message. I think that message was awesome, and it gave me so many thoughts. It made me think about Paul's writings and how he compared our walk to the Olympic Games and running a race. And, you know, those athletes, they train really hard. It made me think about the letter to the Church of Smyrna. They were suffering. They were in poverty, but he told them they were rich. And, you know, a lot of other things. And I think it was fine that he used an unbeliever. Cornelius was an unbeliever. The Bible is full of unbelievers who became believers after they heard a word. And so I think that word needs to be heard. It was very encouraging. And the Bible says to be bold and courageous. And this is the time right now in these last days to do it. People need to stand up and rise up. That's my opinion.
My goodness, much more than just an opinion. Summer, thank you. Your calling was a blessing to many, and I hope and pray you call many more times. Thank you for sharing today. Carlos in Los Angeles. Carlos, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, how you doing? It's an honor to speak to you.
Thank
very
you.
Blessed with your radio ministry, and it touched me tremendously. And that was very uplifting, and I felt good about it. It made me want to go deeper in prayer. I put my foot down because I have a 15-year-old daughter that her mom allows her to do whatever she wants. And I don't agree with it, and I feel like, I got to step it up as a man. And everything you've been talking about has been hitting right at home.
So let me lovingly lean into you a little bit if I can. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I appreciate that. So what does it mean for you specifically to kind of step it up a little bit? And if I want to be very forthright, if I or my ministry can help you and disciple you and encourage you in that, we're here for you. But when you say you want to step it up a little bit more, what does that mean? Other than we'll leave your daughter aside for an example, because I'm sure there's others as well.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other girls. I have 9 kids all together, 7 girls and 2 boys. But I work a lot. I'm a tow truck driver, and I work 12 to 24 hours a day. I'm hardly home. And it's like when I get home, the house ain't in order.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's no food on the table. And it just makes me upset. And the laundry's always piled up. It's like I need to tell my lady she needs to get it together and be a woman. Mm. And as far as prayer too as well, because I've been lacking. And I can feel like that I'm not as hot and on fire for God like I should be.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear the part where Bobby Shuler mentioned suffering? And to be a good husband, to be a good father, means we should be willing to suffer. Did you hear that part?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard it all.
I want to encourage you again. If we can help you in any way, reach out to me. I don't know if you know about my ministry. And I didn't play this to plug my ministries, but I just know a large part of the problem, my good friend Daryl Strawberry, who I talked to last night, always talks about, it's one thing for men to say they're followers of Christ, but it's another thing to get discipled. That's what happened to him. He gave his life to the Lord. Nobody came alongside and discipled him, and he crashed and burned. So just know there are entities, men, ministries that are there for you, Carlos. And if I can serve you in any way, just reach out to me and let me know.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like that's what I need. I do need that. And exactly what you said. You know, I went and kicked and I fell off, went back, fell off. And I just want to go 100% with God.
Yep.
100 plus.
Yep. Amen. Well, we're called to be all in for sure. So if you want to reach out to me, just send me an email, or you can go to my website, franksontag.com. And if we can help you in any way, serve you in any way, disciple you in any way, Carlos or anybody else listening, don't hesitate to reach out to us. 888-528-2557. We have a number of calls on hold. We'll take more on the other side. I want to make sure and mention a radio ministry that is going to be on a television channel for the first time, and also a discovery in Israel of something that is evidently 3,000 years old. 888-528-2557. Much more to continue here on the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We're going to go back to the phones, take a few calls, and then finish up with a couple of news stories. If you just joined us on our Impact segment, I played audio from Bobby Shuler at a KMG event of a few years ago, and he talked at great length about the concept of suffering. He used some examples of people that have overcome insurmountable odds, made mention of Jesus, and what about true biblical manhood? And that's just a brief overview of many things that he shared. And we're asking that you respond. Bill in Valencia. Bill, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
How you doing, Frank?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Yeah, I was just calling in to agree with the first caller you had. And I don't think that suffering is required for us to learn or grow. I do like the example of the Catholic priest that cut down a tree. That was an awesome example. But I also agree that I don't think a pastor should advise us to follow the example of a non-believer.
Okay, two things. He wasn't advising us to follow the path of a non-believer. There was a context to what he shared. He even shared at the end of it, saying, what if he was to have become a Christian? And what about Jesus's example? So I think with respect, you misrepresent him a little bit. But even deeper, when you talk about suffering, have you read the book of Job at all?
Yes. No, I'm not saying that we don't learn through suffering. I know that we learn through suffering. But suffering's not the only way for us to learn.
He wasn't suggesting that was the only way to learn. He was using it as an example of one way to learn.
Correct. Yeah. I just kind of, you know, that was the second example I didn't think was as good as the first. I think the Catholic priest willing to die, because that's what the Lord says that we need to do. We need to lay down our cross and follow him, or pick up our cross and follow him. And that's giving up everything. And I really believe that's the best example.
Okay, fair enough. Bill, thank you for your feedback. I appreciate it. Bobby and Van Nuys, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hi, Bobby.
Frank, what a pleasure it is to catch up with you. First of all, I want to say God bless you. You're doing an outstanding job, Frank. Don't let nobody tell you wrong. The Lord has placed you in the perfect place. There ain't nobody else on the radio like you, Frank. I admire you and your encouragement and the way you preach the gospel in your own little way, 100%. On Bobby, Reverend Bobby, sometimes pain is necessary. Sometimes pain motivates us to do the right thing. In fact, Jesus loves us more than we know. We all know that. But he also loves us to the point to where he'll whip us if necessary. The good book states that. I think he put it this way, that, you know, whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth them. And sometimes, stubborn human beings that we are, we need an ass kicking sometimes. And Jesus knows exactly how to do it with any particular individual. He knows exactly which button to push to motivate them to seek him, to seek his knowledge. You know what, Frank? I'm pushing 68. I've been following the good book most of my life. I read it to the fullest 18 years ago and was blown out of the water when I found out that this book is telling the truth.
Yeah.
And unless people, and I'm talking about the United States here, gets it together with Jesus straight up, it's going to continue to fall.
Yeah, we're going to be in big trouble for sure. Bobby, thank you for the call. I wish I could take you longer. I've got to get one more on. I'm up against a break, and I want to get a couple stories on the air, too. God bless you. Thank you for your kind words. And thank you for walking with the Lord in so many ways that you inspire, I'm sure, undoubtedly, many others, just by your example. Mike in West Covina, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello, Frank. I just wanted to respond. The first call, I didn't catch the whole message, but I did get where the pastor did say that if we were to do it like the non-believer, and sometimes non-believers are all in into what they're doing more than we are. I know I've been there. Also, the believer, the one that called before the previous gentleman was saying that we're supposed to pick up our cross and we're supposed to leave everything. And it does say we're supposed to leave everything. And with persecution, we will get 100-fold back. But that little, you know, with persecution part, I think is very important because for many years I wasn't all in and I would float in and out. And it wasn't until I got plugged in, until I started serving and started going through some stuff because I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was doing the right thing now, but I was being persecuted. And, you know, at the end, it came out, when I came out of different things, I came out better. I got closer to God. But, yeah, there's suffering. We don't have to suffer all the time. But I think the point is, you know, just like Paul went through, he's my hero because when I go through things, I read, you know, Acts or I read things that Paul had, you know, that Paul wrote. Because everything that he had to go through, and he was not ashamed of the gospel, and that's how we have to take it. And I really think in these times, we really have to check if our beliefs are really what the Bible says, or are we trying to be comfortable? Because I think at one point I was trying to be comfortable, and I would omit certain things that I didn't like because I didn't like suffering. But there's a reward for it, and to live a life like Christ, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to stand up for, and because there are beliefs.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for your good words. I wanted to make sure and give you enough time. Let me share a quick scripture. Mike mentioned Paul. You know, when you read the book of Philippians, I think the ESV says, I know how to be brought low, I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. You know, Paul talks a lot about different parts of life. We learn to be content. And I think that's, as hard as it is counterintuitive, learn to be content in suffering as well and learn the example, learn the gift, learn the blessing, if you will. Many of us have been blessed by the radio ministry of David Jeremiah, Turning Point. David, for the first time, the first Christian radio ministry, well, he's on television, but the first time a Christian ministry is on the History Channel. I think it's starting this weekend, starting next Monday. Every weekday at 6:30 a.m., Turning Point with David Jeremiah will be on the History Channel now. Set your recording apparati if you're not up at that hour. And also, archaeologists in Israel have unearthed a 3,000-year-old piece of purple cloth. They believe dates back to the time of King David. That particular hue, that royal purple, at that time was worn by biblical kings, even Jesus himself. The color is called argamon, and it's made from mollusks in the Sea of the Mediterranean Sea. Quite an archaeological find by Israel Antiquities Authority. And their comments on record study is very important for several reasons. Purple was the color worn by the elites, and they believe the cloth dates back to 1000 BC, the time of King David. I love archaeological finds, especially when it continues to prove that the Bible is indeed true. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow for another program. For those of you that have reached out to me and emailed me about what I shared with Carlos and anybody else, you can just send me an email at franksontag@kkla.com. If we can help you in any way in my men's ministry, you can simply find the domain is franksontag.com. You can reach out to us there if we can help you, serve you, pray for you, be there for you in any way. Please do not hesitate. This is the Frank Sontag Show.